Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So do we have anything to talk about this week? Are you sure that we did our way too early predictions and we can't just do that again?
Start like scrambling.
Let's talk about WrestleMania 37. Let's predict that one.
We haven't predicted 36 yet.
I'm being ambitious.
This is just predictions. All right, here we go. Roman Reigns versus Brock, main event. Reigns versus Brock, main event in a cage. Roman Reigns versus Brock in a Smith-swapping I Quit cel-shaded match.
See, that's throwing your hat over the wall. I like it. Yeah. I mean, nothing was bad as far as WWE programming this week.
Okay, so there are a couple of things happened.
Yeah.
That are worth touching on.
Okay.
And it almost feels like it was like one per show. That's nice.
Sure. Kevin Owens met Shania Twain.
Kevin Owens did meet Shania Twain.
So that was fun.
I wasn't going to bring that one up, but it did technically happen. So there you go.
I'm reaching for everything here.
Okay. So this week on Raw, Bayley snapped.
Right. But didn't she do that the last week too? Like the backstage stuff?
But it felt better this week. And I don't know, because I was thinking about it, I don't have...
I do love the fact that the crowd was cheering, like, finally, like, you know, it was a nice bit of relief.
And part of it is, as soon as she did that, she jumped in the ring, attacked her, swore on television.
Yeah.
As soon as all this happened, I had this immediate reaction of full investment and excitement. And finally, they're doing this. Hooray.
Yeah. Because they've been teasing this since before WrestleMania.
Yes. And I don't know if that's good or not. Like one hand, I don't want to give them credit for like all the crap that I had to go through, the teasing and the will they, won't they, and they forgetting about it and bringing it back.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like that was intentional. Like, oh, when we finally pull this trigger. And maybe that was... But it was done badly because it had several months.
Yeah, I don't.
Not even bad television, but like frustrating television.
We've been doing this podcast long enough, and we've been wrestling fans long enough to know that WWE didn't sit down in March and circle this date in June that they're at Bayley's hometown in San Jose, where she was finally going to turn.
Right,
and then just do this really long, agonizing tease, and even technically already turn kinda the week before,
right?
And then send her to counseling or therapy or whatever. So if the anger management guy from, speaking of Team Hell No,
yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, but like, I get, yeah, you're right. We can't talk about that. Yeah. I don't know why I forgot all that. But if that doctor from
Dr. Shelby,
if he's not at counseling next week, I'm calling BS.
That's wasted opportunity.
And WWE might have to fork up some money to Sky Scorpio to reprise his role as Harold.
Yeah,
so, who's now full on like independent wrestler now. So good for him.
Good for him. He's, good job, Harold.
For everyone who is wondering who that is, and watch Being the Elite, he's one of the guys yelling SEU, and he's not white. So there you go. That pretty much rounds it down.
But I did have this reaction, this positive reaction to, oh boy, this storyline is happening. This
right.
And I was trying to like think of other examples of that. Obviously, the way blown out of proportion. Not like these are two equal moments in WWE history.
I'll be the judge of that.
It's when Sting came out.
Okay.
Where, like, we knew it was going to happen
for a long
time.
Yeah.
There were several moments where we're like, this would be great.
There
and
were also, like,
happen.
A ton of rumors and almost confirmations during that weekend, you know? And yet we still acted like giddy little children.
Well, and it's that thing where, like, it's happening. It's finally happening. This moment is happening.
Yeah.
This is a very, very small scale version of that. Like, this is, you know, not actually comparable, but I'm going to compare it anyway. But I did have that, this is happening. I'm excited to see what happens here. Yeah. I'm excited.
I mean, you know, we know what a Bayley-Sasha Banks feud can be. And we haven't had that on the main roster yet. And they're doing it in the reverse of what we had in NXT. Sasha was the heel. Sasha was an amazing heel. Bayley's never been a heel. So we literally have no idea what to happening. Expect.
Yeah.
Or if she's even going to go full heel. We don't know. But that brings up an interesting thought. You know, the things that that gave you that kind of reaction, like they're finally doing it or whatever, or so-and-so is finally here. Like, what is there left that you can think of that would give you that reaction? Like, aside from CM Punk coming back, because
that they have control over.
Yeah.
Or
could potentially have control over.
Right. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I will say, a return is not necessarily the same thing as a we're pulling the trigger on this storyline, we're going forward with this feud,
right,
kind of thing. Something like this, the it feels like it's a payoff of
mm-hmm.
months and months of buildup.
Right.
And again, I'm conflicted almost. Because
I felt the same way. I felt similarly when they finally definitely was pulling the trigger on Daniel Bryan going into WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
You know? Because it was like, well, you know, there was a lot of theories that was pretty close to what eventually actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us were just like, they're never going to, he's
right.
So tiny, and they want their main event to be Orton and Batista. You know, they want this main event.
But that moment where, I mean, okay, actually, yeah, these are better, as we talk about, better examples.
Yeah.
That moment when Daniel Bryan says, I want this, and Triple H said, you have to do this, but you got it.
Well, that was the thing, like, because that was in the Occupy Raw segment,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you had all the fans in the ring. And up to that point, there was only mention of him having a match with Triple H. And even in that, like, that moment, that's all Daniel Bryan talked about. It's like, I want a match against you at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And then Triple H was finally like, you got it. And then, for the first time, I don't remember who said first, I think it was Daniel Bryan, said that, you know,
the winner of that match.
Winner of that match will go and be the, or go to the main event.
Yeah.
And at that point, like, my head exploded.
Other good examples, better examples of that same kind of feeling is twice at the Royal Rumble this year, when Asuka won and when Nakamura won,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, they're doing this, they're pulling this trick. Especially Nakamura with the knowledge that AJ was a champion.
Right.
At that moment, you're like,
yes.
I see the pathway here to AJ and Nakamura fighting at WrestleMania. And so, I don't know that they're, honestly, when you do a really good cash-in, it'll be that. I really want Strowman to cash in on Brock Lesnar. I think that would get me excited.
I feel like it's going to be more of Roman finally beats Brock and then Strowman immediately. Because
that's what Daniel Bryan did.
I know.
At SummerSlam.
I know. Well, Randy Orton did it, but really like rehashing stuff that Daniel Bryan did.
Yes.
That's been Roman Reigns' last 2 years.
But, like, you can see, like, oh, we're going to Braun Strowman, Randy Orton screw Roman Reigns out of the title, and then we're going to occupy Raw with, you know, SWAT vests, and it's going to be awesome. Like, you see the steps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I sure do. I see next year's WrestleMania main event being Roman and Strowman, which, amazing for Strowman, he's going to lose to Roman in the main event of WrestleMania, if that's the case. If they teased it for a few months or whatever, I would, well, you know what, forget it. If they just randomly just came out of nowhere and did this and turned Roman heel,
mm-hmm.
that would get a reaction out of me, like, big time.
That would.
And, like, maybe a little bit of a lesser reaction, but I would also have that reaction if Cena turned heel, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, never happened on the you know, on the main roster. I think he was a heel in FCW.
Right. But I, that does feel a little too late. Cena.
Right.
Cena doesn't.
He's not the main guy anymore.
And it's not even so much that. It's just he doesn't have enough time to be a heel. When he comes back, it's going to be a face pop. He's going to get that excitement for a few weeks. And then he'll have to turn heel.
Yeah.
Then he'll have to force this heel turn to work. Then we'll have to, like, get used to him being a heel. And all
as
this.
As we're seeing in Japan, Chris Jericho can pull that off. I don't know if Cena can.
I don't know if Cena can.
Yeah.
I've never seen.
I'm honestly, like, he's such an old pro. I have a feeling he would make it work, but it would still not feel the same if he was at the top of his game, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, still full-time with WWE.
Well, and Jericho has this, you know, he has this background even going into New Japan where it's he's a WWE guy. He is coming in as the enemy.
Yeah.
As the face of the enemy. So it's very easy to, you know, immediately pull on those strings. There's no strings for John Cena.
No.
Other than to turn him heel against Roman, as John Cena's always been the corporate face,
right,
and Roman is somehow the anti-establishment, like,
right,
not hand-picked successor to the throne.
Yeah. I mean, and also, once your wrestlers start becoming movie stars or whatever, WWE likes to bring them, when they do come back, they like to bring them back as faces, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Aside from, later part of Rock's kind of full-time career, when he was kind of just the arrogant Hollywood type, the Miz, yeah, basically
the prototype Miz.
But other than that, straight to DVD doesn't count for Miz.
No,
but well, for everyone else, yeah, because they tried it with Batista, it didn't quite work, and he eventually turned him heel.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what they were.
That's not what they wanted. And I will bet you, if they could have had Rock face, then Rock was being booed for not being a wrestler, for leaving.
Yeah.
Even before he was leaving, he was booed,
right,
for a less than 100% commitment,
mm-hmm,
to wrestling.
Yeah.
If they could get him cheers, then
They would have.
So yeah, he could be carrying that title on Regis and Callahan, whatever it was then.
Instead, they listened to the fans and had him be a heel. Remember the good old days? Don't you think they should do that with, I don't know, the current top guy that they're obsessed with?
Do you think there is any chance that this Fox SmackDown thing will have any effect on this? This is...
What do you mean?
So, SmackDown moving to Fox, mm-hmm, and Raw staying on USA.
Yeah.
Or staying with NBC Universal. Them,
right.
These two shows being for two different companies,
mm-hmm,
is the closest we've been to a legitimate brand war
within the same company, though, technically. But
I mean, since the Monday Night Wars, right, it's the closest thing of, are you a this guy or a that guy?
Right.
Now, obviously, they'll be on different nights, so you can easily be an either, you know,
for both
guy.
Yeah.
Now,
if they really wanted to, you know, put some fire behind this, to put them on the same night. But
I would love to see that.
Right.
Like, let's put SmackDown on Monday and see who comes out on top.
Yeah. So you're asking if the TV deals will have anything to do with,
like, right, we do have
planning ahead, or?
Well, we have a date. I think it's October 19th, 2019. We have a date that SmackDown will start airing on Fox. It's
on Fridays as well.
Yeah. Now, is it going to be live?
From what I understand, it's still going to be live.
Okay. It needs to be.
I mean, like, they're doing house shows anyway on Friday.
Right.
So it doesn't change that much.
You just change the camera schedule.
Right.
Interestingly enough, and some people picked up on this, the press release announced SmackDown as WWE's flagship show.
Yeah. So I'm kind of scared Roman Reigns is going to go to SmackDown.
Well, NBC also paid a lot of money to keep Raw.
And only, like, it was maybe just like a hair less than what SmackDown was,
mm-hmm,
you know, but they were very close, like, as far as price range.
Well, it's, you have two shows that behind the scenes actually look like they're on level footing right now.
Fox does kind of make NBC look a little foolish for paying that much money for a show on one of their cable channels and not on NBC
and
proper.
Not moving it to NBC, yeah.
Right. So Fox is like, kind of like, you know, if you really had the stones, you would put it on your show. And NBC is just like, yeah, if you really had the stones, you would have kept all your programming and not sold it to Disney.
I mean, we're absolutely, there's no way that Raw is going on NBC on Mondays. That's
no,
like a
Lord,
prime television night.
Lord, no. And that's probably what it is. Vince probably just loves that Monday night slot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but there is a path, a visible step-by-step path to see where these shows are genuinely competing with each other.
Yeah.
Where you know, you need to actually be better than something else.
Right.
If SmackDown is better than Raw, the good thing right now just goes to Raw.
Yeah.
And Raw doesn't need to be better than SmackDown because it's Raw, and it will always get more viewers because it's Raw and not SmackDown.
Right.
You don't have such a clear A show, B show dynamic.
Yeah.
A year and a few months from now. Do you think that will have an effect on... I mean, I can sit here and say right now, whichever show Roman is a heel on, I am going to be more invested in.
Sure. Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't think these deals will have a bearing on whether or not they actually pull the trigger on Roman Reigns being heel.
Well, and I don't think it's going to be a requirement. Like, Fox is like, we get SmackDown, but we get to turn Roman heel. That's like part of our deal.
I would like to be friends with that negotiator.
But if you have, you know, if you have a thing where Fox is saying, hey, you know, Raw is pulling these numbers on cable. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you pulling these numbers on network television?
Right.
And they have a face Roman on there, and they're like, we got to turn Roman heel. We got to justify.
So you think Fox would be a little bit more justified in turning up the heat as far as the pressure of, like, changing things up storyline-wise?
I think that there is a possibility that, I mean, again, I don't know if Fox is going to care. Fox wants to put money in this hand and get money out of this hand.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, obviously, there would be some serious discussions if ratings dipped lower than they were comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they would be very specific of, like, you know, turn this guy, turn that guy, or whatever. I don't know if they would be that specific, or at least they would just, you know, kind of tell WWE to get their act together and, you know.
Well, and that's what something. I think is, if they say, get your act together, we're expecting these ratings, you're delivering X amount less than these ratings, and WWE is sitting there at, you know, up to this point, WWE sitting there staying the course of, like, no, we're not turning Roman. And this isn't specifically about, I hope Roman turns heel, but it's just the example for this discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, and WWE has not turned Roman heel somewhat out of stubbornness up until this point.
Right. It's more just sticking to your laurels, and it's just like, why?
And it's the Vince McMahon, I'd rather, you know, 10,000 people watch my show than 100,000 people
and honestly,
watching,
like,
something I didn't
you
want
know,
to put on there.
Clearly he feels justified in doing that because he just got, like, billions of dollars from these TV companies, so he feels like he's still making the right moves because he's richer than he's ever been.
Right, and what do I know? I still have to put this podcast out for free because you guys won't pay for it. Like, so, like, one of us is a great businessman, and it's not me.
Hi, this is Chris from Glass Ring Attire. If you are listening to us and you are a potential advertiser or investor, please contact us at glassringattire@gmail.com. I would like to quit my job, please. Thank you.
My point is, I don't think this will be an overnight thing.
No.
But WWE is now having to answer to two masters.
Right.
And they can't say, you know, oh, yeah, SmackDown's numbers are low, but, you know, we're giving you Raw, and Raw's always going to be a little bit better. Now, all of a sudden, NBC's going to turn around and say, hey, you always said Raw would be better, and somehow more people are watching SmackDown. Do something better on Raw. Make the people watch the Raw.
Right. I would be interested in seeing a legitimate split as far as the creative, you know, like, different showrunners. Like, have Triple H more likely control SmackDown. Vince probably too old to fully control Raw, but still, you know.
Well, by October 2019, we're getting really close to
XFL. Right.
Theoretically.
One would assume. They are selling that sweet gear.
Well, that's less than 4 months away from, theoretically, your XFL.
Because it was February, right?
It was February last time. We're assuming it's February this time
reason. Well, assuming they're going to... I think we touched on it the other week. Like, you know, you watch the Super Bowl, like, wow, that was good football. I want to watch more football. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have anything.
And then there's the XFL next week, yeah.
So I think they're trying to circle in on that.
Yes, but I will say that...
But that would make sense, and that's not really Vince McMahon's thing.
I can definitely see... They've just said 2020,
Sure.
And part of the reason for that is...
it gives them a whole 12-month window.
Right. And, like, they can be like, well, pre-games are in December of 2020. The season starts in February 2021.
Sure, maybe. I don't know.
But the XFL began in 2020. Like, they can easily do that and give themselves another year.
Are you trying to justify an XFL soft opening?
This isn't
a sushi restaurant.
My point is, Star Wars Episode 7 was supposed to come out in May of 2015, but they only said 2015, so they moved it to December, and now we'll never get a Star Wars movie in May again.
Solo?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that happened, and that's it. From this point forward,
okay.
Because now we are so ingrained in Star Wars as a December event that...
Except they just... put out a Star Wars movie in May.
And it did not do great.
I mean, it did okay.
I mean, it's complicated.
Okay, it did bad for Star Wars numbers.
It's complicated. But some of the fallout from that is going to be Star Wars has not come out in May anymore.
Kay.
Star Wars is coming out in December.
Fair.
For a good long while.
Did they ever say why they did that? Or did anyone ever figure out why they released Solo in May?
Stuff was supposed to come in May. They wanted May. Star Wars was a May thing. Episodes 1 through 6 were all released in May.
Sure. But then it's like they accepted this whole December thing, and then they just kept Solo at May. Was there a reason why they didn't move it to December to fit everything else?
Basically because the issues were late in the production instead of early in the production.
Okay.
Force Awakens had script issues.
Right.
And so they pushed it. So they had time to push it from its intended May 2015 to December 15.
So when they had the issues with the director, it was just late.
Right.
Okay.
And Episode 9 was supposed to come out in May. It was supposed to be Solo in May, mm-hmm. and then Episode 9 coming out next May.
Right.
It was kind of like we're here, we're using Solo to retake May,
mm-hmm.
And then director issues again. But not last 2 weeks of production director issues.
Sure.
Before we've started the show at all, director issues.
Still should have moved in the summer.
Well, they should have, but Episode 9 got pushed from May to December.
They just need to keep it at December.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's
like I know we kind of put up a little bit of a pout whenever they moved Force Awakens to December, mm-hmm. instead of May. It's like, we got to wait longer now. But ultimately, I think it pays off. Now we've gotten used to
it. The world that we live in now, Star Wars is a Christmas event. The new Star Wars movie is a Christmas event.
I mean,
it's an end-of-the-year event. It's a December event.
And think about it. It's when everyone goes home for the holidays, and what you want to do when you're home for the holidays?
Go see Star Wars?
Get away from your family. Get out of the house.
Or
go somewhere where no one is supposed to talk.
My point is...
Yes, sorry. This whole side note.
They only said 2015. Star Wars Episode 7 will come out in 2015. Specifically to allow them to move it from May to December if mm-hmm. they needed it.
Yeah.
And I fully believe that XFL is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They want it to be
2020.
But this is a very easy strategy to basically do 2021 while still... fulfilling your promise that you wrapped to us
that one time. I feel like it is within their strategy to do it in that window where there is no NFL games.
Yeah.
Because if it bleeds over at all, they're going to lose rating-wise.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, you do pre-games. Maybe you do, camp, training camp.
Sure.
Which isn't even a real thing, but here are some exclusive XFL.com videos of training camp.
Yeah.
So we technically gave you XFL content in 2020.
We saw the football content of XFL and training camps would be nice. Just in general.
So it's possible.
I'm glad we clarified one tangent to get back to another tangent.
Now
back to what we originally talked about. But I would like to see two separate creative entities.
I would like that as well.
Right? So you have a clear distinction of okay, this show isn't just getting the creative scraps from the other show. Because honestly, still to this day, SmackDown is, by and large, the better show. But there are times where they just feel like they're getting creative scraps mm-hmm. from Raw. Like they're still doing the Teddy Long. They did it the Teddy Long this week where two guys were fighting. They were having a match, and then another two guys came in and completely ruined the match or whatever. Cut a commercial, come back. They're all in tag teams now. Like, yeah. That infuriates me.
SmackDown is constantly getting their toys taken away from them.
Oh, sure. Well, as soon as something works and something is being enjoyed and is enjoyable,
mm-hmm.
ship it over to Raw.
Yeah.
Where they strip it for parts.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's not even just like, this wrestler's getting over, we're going to put him over here. You get, you know, basic, like, feuds and character themes and stuff that, like, they like badasses now. So, like, we have one on Raw. Stop doing that, SmackDown.
Right, yeah. But speaking of all this down-talking we were doing with SmackDown, SmackDown did something fun.
Yes, they did.
First of all, Daniel Bryan and Luke Harper put on a fantastic match.
Yeah.
Luke Harper needs to be in more one-on-one matches. I understand. They tried it, they kind of, like, half-heartedly tried him as a solo wrestler.
I was thinking this exact thing mm-hmm. watching that match. I was right with you where mm-hmm. I was like, man, Luke Harper needs to get a good singles run.
Yeah.
But I was like, but then what does poor Eric Rowan do? Like, he's not bad, but he is exactly where he should be in the tag team division.
But to answer your question of what Eric Rowan should do, my answer is, I don't care, put Luke Harper in singles matches. Because I remember, like, that whole Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, Randy Orton storyline going into WrestleMania, like, the couple months going into it, was really good. And he was putting on some really great matches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, he didn't really fit into their WrestleMania plan, so he was forgotten about for a long time.
Yes.
And then Bludgeon Brothers didn't happen until the fall. So he was, like, all these months were not, I'm assuming a lot of it had to do with, like, waiting for Eric Rowan to get healthy because he had gotten hurt.
Right.
But, Bludgeon Brothers, I like their theme music. They got hammers. And they smash things. That, you know, they're doing a good job at that.
This is a pretty decent evolution of the Wyatt family now that you don't have Bray Wyatt.
Right. This is, they're doing really well being their own entity.
Yes.
And Eric Rowan isn't wearing a garbage man jumpsuit.
That helps.
And we're not getting, like, wedgies anymore. So I'm okay all around with that. But Luke Harper's really good in singles matches. But that's beyond the point.
No, you're right. He is. I don't know if he is main event material, if he is destined future WWE champion material. Now, some argue is, how will you know if you don't let him try?
Right.
And everybody deserves that chance and that shot.
I feel like they half-heartedly tried it with the whole Intercontinental Championship thing around WrestleMania 31.
Mm-hmm.
Then they half-heartedly tried it just to give Bray Wyatt and Randy something to do for a couple months.
Well, I think you very easily say that Luke Harper has earned a shot to make something more for himself.
Yes.
That's an easy box to check.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I don't know if he'll make it.
Right.
It's not a thing where, like, you look at somebody like Drew McIntyre or Dolph Ziggler, where mm-hmm. you're like, the reason they're not making it is crap.
Right.
Whatever it is, it's some upper echelon crap.
Well, I mean, okay, here's a good example. Because, I mean, they have given, like, taken chances on guys before. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know whether or not Jinder Mahal was going to survive in the main event. He didn't, but they tried.
Right.
And they're still trying for some reason. You know, so you tried with Jinder, and he's,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to say talentless hack, but he's him.
He is somewhat lacking.
Yeah, okay, sure, whatever.
but,
like, they tried so hard with him.
But I also, I want a good tag team roster.
Absolutely.
And
but SmackDown is so stacked on tag teams right now.
Yeah, they are.
They really are. And they just added another one. Then we'll get to it, but...
But I don't know. I mean, but just because SmackDown is stacked and oversaturated with tag teams, mm-hmm. Are they all great? The answer is no. And B, WWE isn't. They still, there's, although there are a lot of tag teams, mm-hmm. other than the New Day, what tag team feels like it should be closing out, not even a pay-per-view main event, just like a Raw or SmackDown main event?
Usos.
See, I don't think that they do. Like they have.
Right.
But
not, like, I'm not saying, like, not currently, because they've kind of let them cool off some mm-hmm. lately. But there was a point where I could absolutely see Usos closing out a SmackDown, usually against New Day.
Specifically against New Day, though.
Right.
Like,
but that's the thing. Like,
Usos just versus Bludgeon Brothers feels like a letdown yeah. of a Raw or SmackDown main event. Like, they'll do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. And they haven't had a tag team worthy of, like, this should be closing. The tag team title should be closing out a pay-per-view.
Right.
That hasn't happened.
No, because even the latest, you know, matches with Usos and New Day, They were great matches, but there was no real fire in the feud
right.
itself. It was just more like, we know what these guys can do. Let's put them together once again.
I would go as far back as Nexus, if you're like a faction storyline, should sure. be closing out a pay-per-view. And if you want to say this tag team, especially this tag team for the tag team title, should be closing out.
Yeah.
I think DX, like the really brief, but like Sean yeah. came back at SummerSlam. Yeah.
And they didn't main event.
But that was the
yeah,
last
yeah.
time.
It was
because weren't they fighting like Show Miz or something?
No, they were fighting Legacy.
Yeah, like
Cody and DiBiase
Jr. Was Randy Orton even a part of that one?
No.
It was before Randy Orton was part of Legacy?
I think Randy might have gone his own way. Gone his own, like, I don't remember. I don't think.
Because that was the WrestleMania after that was the Legacy triple
right.
threat that, like, ended it.
Right, you're right, you're right, you're right. Might have been before Randy
was really involved.
Was involved with them. But yeah, no, the main event of that SummerSlam was CM Punk and Jeff Hardy.
Oh, really?
If I remember correctly. Yeah. I went back. Okay. This is a safe space, you guys. So I feel confident in admitting something.
Nerd. Go ahead.
Every once in a while, I'll go back and, like, I will. It usually when I don't really have a whole lot to watch, like, mm-hmm. and I just need something to watch, like, in the background or something, I'll go through and just put on, like, sequentially all of CM Punk's pay-per-view matches.
Okay.
And so that's how, like, I recently did that not too long ago, because we got the network and I'm paying for it, so I might as well put it.
That thing should be on 24/7. You're paying for it 24/7.
Right?
But you should also have Netflix on a different screen going 24/7 to get your money's worth out of
true.
Everything.
I'm not paying for Hulu. That's my sister. So, but on a third screen, I need to have Amazon Prime going.
Yep.
I think that's all I'm paying for.
And get ready for that. But yeah, but that Disney thing's coming out and that DC Universe thing's
coming out.
I'm
not wasting money for that.
Got to get some CBS All Access.
I will get your login info for Disney, okay? But yeah, no, CM Punk and Jeff Hardy, if I'm not remembering incorrectly, they closed out the show. But anyway, like,
but my point is, DX.
Yeah.
Now that was like, oh, that is a main event tag team.
Feels like it's cheating, though.
It is a little bit.
It is cheating.
But, like, I don't want to have to talk.
It's Triple H and Shawn Michaels in what, 2009?
Yeah. I don't want to.
That's cheating.
I don't want to have to go back and be like, guys, remember Road Warriors? Like, I want to be able to stop somewhere.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
And, like, okay,
still, like,
the main event of WrestleMania should, I guess not always, but pretty much always be a singles match for the title. You know, like the WWE title should be an echelon above the tag team titles.
You know what tag team could and have main evented shows? DIY.
Okay, DIY is that was a good tag team.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they
main evented TakeOver Chicago 1 with them and Authors of Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Authors of Pain could potentially main event a show if they did something with them.
Yes. They have these tag teams.
Yeah.
But through whatever lack of build, lack of interest in a successful extended tag team.
Yeah.
Or just maybe not knowing what works in the tag teams. Like, yeah. I almost feel like we're at that point. You're like, what works with a modern tag team. Because sometimes you have things where we're like, oh, they're two guys that look similar and are dressed the same and they're brothers or something. Yeah. And it's Absolution. And you're like, this doesn't work. You're like, it's not the 80s. Why are you doing literally the Road Warriors? And then they're sometimes like, well, this guy and this guy. And the tag team is named this guy and this guy. And you're like, yeah, that's just two people. That's not a tag team.
So Bray Wyatt and Jeff and Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
They refer to them as, you know, the leader of worlds, but that's not like their...
Well...
That's not the name that they, like, is on the...
Yeah.
The whatever the...
That's not their tag team name.
Right.
And I will say that they're trying there, and there is at least a sliver of, like, they're both weird.
Sure.
Like, honestly...
And before that, WWE was just paired up with, like, hey, these two guys are white. Hey, these two guys are black.
Yeah, we had that issue.
We had that issue for a long time.
I'm not comfortable saying had past tense like we fixed it because...
Mm-hmm. The Usos.
Like, I'm aware.
I know they're brothers. I'm just making a joke.
Okay, but you have things like Cesaro and Sheamus where it's just Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they've happened to have worked together really well, like, but... We need to stress... Well,
then, right, and it took them forever for them to finally
yes, we need
like,
to stress
the
that
bar.
Took a long time.
Yeah.
And is defying all logic. They to this day, should still continue to be terrible.
That made me have a troubling thought.
Okay.
I haven't seen Sheamus and Cesaro in a while.
No, I can't tell you the last time.
You know why?
What?
Because they're on SmackDown. You know why?
Too many tag teams?
So many tag teams on SmackDown. Which is what the point I was making, so shut up.
I'm not arguing that.
I know.
That's not my argument. My argument is that you don't, I mean, you can't main event. You don't feel like you're main eventing with tag teams. There's no, DIY is a great example of like, that is a tag team that needs to go on the end of the show, the main event, the top tier. They have the title. If they're defending the title, that's a big deal.
Yes.
New Day is another example of when that worked. Kind of end of list. Usos, when they were up against New Day.
Yeah.
Because you do need more than one. The thing with DX, yeah, let's put our big, you know, we've remade this tag team. Let's put them against, I don't know, this is the other tag team we have, Legacy. It's a thing. You're like, all right. And that's what they're doing now. Here's my segue. Because they have, again, reunited a fairly main event-ish tag team in Team Friendship, because that's their real name. Shut up.
Yeah, you know, I did fully. I was watching SmackDown at work. Hi, hopefully my boss doesn't
listen
to this. But you know, I'm training a new guy, and he kind of is into wrestling. He's got family that are really into wrestling, and so I was trying to explain that. They're calling them Team Hell No right now, but that's not the name that we want. Because we were just talking about like how funny and weird it is that you know Kane's running for mayor, and like we literally were talking about it just before the show started, and then ended the show with him coming out, and I'm like, does Kane not realize that he can say no, and he can just focus on this campaign because it's a fairly big deal.
Yeah.
But he's an old pro and he's old school, so he's gonna answer the call.
I mean, it might be that I owe you one, like
sure that and like you know, again, Daniel Bryan's wrestling on borrowed time, so go ahead and like have that reunion with one of your favorite people to work with.
Yeah,
you know, go ahead and have that reunion while you still can. You know, so they're gonna be teaming together on Extreme Rules,
and I'm assuming tag team champions.
Yeah, I can see that. Unless shenanigans, let's not forget, Miz is kind of sort of involved in this feud as well.
Yes.
So,
but this also
could be the whole.
This also feels like some Daniel Bryan filler to kick that Miz and Daniel Bryan can down closer towards WrestleMania.
Do you think they're gonna wait that long? I'm thinking SummerSlam.
SummerSlam feels more likely right now.
Yeah.
Because
surely they can't keep those two apart. Until next April.
But if they want to do it for the Intercontinental title, I think it needs to wait till WrestleMania.
Yeah, because the Intercontinental title's on Raw.
Right. they need the time to move it and to do all of that. Mm-hmm. But I also don't know how long they get Kane for. Like, Kane's surely got to go back on the campaign trail at some point.
Isn't Extreme Rules is the last pay-per-view before SummerSlam?
I think so.
I'm thinking Miz comes and does something dastardly to Kane or whatever, and that sets off Daniel Bryan.
And so we get Daniel Bryan and Miz at SummerSlam.
Yeah, because Daniel Bryan, you know, he's already dipping his toe in this feud with them and the Bludgeons, as Daniel Bryan referred them to. I'm like, yeah, that's a great shorthand. I don't understand how anyone didn't think of that.
Hasn't been doing that.
But, yeah, Miz has his hands all over it. Makes me think that there's going to be a third person on the good guys squad to kind of even things out, but
The Undertaker?
Is Miz going to go one-on-one with The Undertaker?
It is SmackDown.
You're not wrong.
There
are rumors going around that Undertaker hat. They have something planned for Undertaker at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Hopefully not Miz.
watch it be.
And you know what? Honestly, I'm okay with not doing it. Like, we accept WrestleMania. We are getting our yearly dose of Undertaker. Mm-hmm. And we are okay with it. We accept this. This is basically our religious ritual. Thank you. We accept this Undertaker to fulfill our wrestling needs, and we are good for the year.
See, Undertaker...
And now it's like going to church on Easter and Christmas? Are you kidding me?
But here's what's weird. Undertaker was wrestling match of the year matches 5 years ago.
Sure.
And it's not like he's been busy.
No.
So, like, I know that 5 years is a long time in wrestling, but we usually talk about 5 years being a long time to guys who are on the road 300 days a year, wrestling, you know, sometimes two matches a night for, you know, 300 days,
and
who are throwing themselves off of ladders,
right?
Who are not giving themselves proper time to heal from every injury they sustain. Yeah. So, yeah, 5 years is a long time for Finn Balor and for Seth Rollins. Undertaker's wrestled 8 matches in 5 years?
Yeah.
Like, why is he not able to do that? And I don't want to say that in a, like, come on, Undertaker, try a little bit. I don't mean that.
Right.
Like, he is also given his body and soul to this business. And, like...
And he's wrestling on a replaced hip.
Yeah, like...
And that's the biggest factor. Like, you know... That's why we all assumed that he was done after WrestleMania in Orlando, because we knew he needed to get this hip replacement. He'd been putting it off for probably way too long.
Right.
And, you know, you hear it from a lot of older wrestlers. Once you get that hip replacement, you never come back quite right as far as wrestling-wise. But of course, it would be The Undertaker to try it out.
Yeah. But I am curious, is he wrestling practice matches down in Florida? Like,
no,
is he? Because he's the Undertaker.
That's the thing that. But and again, like, I understand. Like, you've only in life, wrestlers have a just certain number of bumps their body can take in their lifetime, and he's getting very close to that number. So I understand. Like, you don't want to take unnecessary bumps to practice or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
And I get that thought process.
But it wouldn't hurt.
I remember when The Rock came back, and like here, there was like
he was
pictures and footage of like The Rock
tuning up with Curtis Axel. Yeah,
yeah, like in NXT, Rock's wrestling, not on the show,
but
like
at the PC.
Yeah, the center where you're like, all right, that's I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, it crossed your mind. Oh, you haven't been in a ring in 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Yeah, it might just be like riding a bike, but maybe don't ride a bike for the first time in front of 60,000 people.
Sure, and I'm sure that there has to be some sort of in-ring prep done, or you would assume.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's really being done all that strenuously with The Undertaker, you know?
I don't know. I don't know, and again...
Also, let me...
I a little bit don't want to question it. Like, you're the Undertaker. I will complain about, like, oh, I don't want this. Oh, this is just undo it. And I mean all those complaints, but I still, like, if he freaking walks away and, like, raises his fist to the lightning and the gong every time, I will be like, I should stand for respect.
Right, yeah.
Like, for respect reasons. Every time, I will never not get that feeling.
Yeah. I there's one other thing, since we're on the subject of The Undertaker. And let me preface this by saying, I love The Undertaker. One of the, just probably Vince McMahon's best creations.
Okay.
And him, like, the man has given so much of himself and of his life to this business. Undertaker has an Instagram account now. So don't act like, oh, he doesn't do interviews because he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to be out of character. He doesn't want to be out of kayfabe. He has an Instagram account. Pretty sure he doesn't do interviews just because he doesn't want to. I'm just going to throw that out there.
He had that for years. That, like, no, it's a character thing. And everyone's like, oh, I respect that. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But he has an Instagram account now. He made an appearance at a Post Malone concert, of all places. Yeah. Kayfabe's dead.
Do you think, like...
Kayfabe's dead. He can do shoot interviews. He could be on documentary. We can have an Undertaker fully behind-the-scenes documentary today.
Do you think, like, 25-plus years ago, like, when kayfabe was still alive and kicking, and Vince McMahon approached Mark Calloway and was like, all right, we got two characters here that we're thinking. We're going to do, we got the Undertaker dead man who, like, doesn't say anything and just grunts. And we got Johnny Talks a Lot, the interview giver. And he was like, ah, I'm doing column A. I'm never going to give an interview.
Okay, so what you're basically describing me is like, me and Mark Calloway. We've got two options for you. Undertaker, very stoic, very quiet, doesn't say a whole lot, very creepy, just solemn kind of person. And over here, Velveteen Dream. So you're saying we could have had a Mark Calloway version of Velveteen Dream. I would pay to see that.
But he doesn't want to give interviews, and he saw his opportunity, and he took it.
I mean,
I'm assuming that's what happened.
But see, the thing is, now, as we've seen with the Velveteen Dream, is anytime you're in an interview, just sit back and just be like, the dream has no
recollection. The dream has no memory of that? Yeah, that's the best line.
It is.
The best line.
It really is. So, you know, you can use that as a fallback, whatever you want.
All right, finally, before we wrap up, you want to speak on the UK tournament real quick?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I would have liked it if the winner of the tournament faced Pete Dunne later.
Okay.
Like, maybe you have that be the inaugural show of, or the inaugural episode of NXT.
That's on your main event. That's your first main event.
Right. Like, really start off with a bang. Because at that point, you had a guy who wrestled, what, three matches in one day?
Mm-hmm.
Then have a championship match the next night. Now, Pete Dunne also, I believe, had a match on the first episode. I did kind of skim through. Like, I skimmed through stuff that wasn't in the tournament.
Right, okay.
Except for Toni Storm's match, because I am heavily infatuated. she had one match on both days, and I watched both of those matches, and I hate Shayna Baszler. Sorry, Shayna Baszler won. Toni Storm had a title opportunity.
Okay.
Although Toni Storm did an amazing job selling.
Yeah.
I think it was a leg injury or something like that. Fantastic. Go back and watch that.
Okay.
That aside from her being adorable. But I understand, like, you had 2 days, you know, and they wanted to wrap it all up in those 2 days. And I guess they didn't want to do it like last time, where it was like pretty much it was all exclusively the tournament.
Right.
Both days. Like, the entire first round was nothing but day one. Mm-hmm. Like, that was all on day one. Now, granted, I think they had 16 on day or 16 guys start on day one.
Yes. Yeah, so
and, you know, by the time you got to day one on this event, you already had like other round matches to lead into this.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not even I'm fine with, you know, I think it was Zach Gibson, I think, was the guy who won.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was just seeing the crowd react to him. I don't really know much about him outside of this, But the crowd hated him from the moment he stepped out there. And, like, my favorite chants were every time one of his match started, the crowd would start singing, and then you get to the, I guess, the chorus, and was like, if you hate Zach Gibson, stand up. If you hate Gibson, stand up. And everyone stood up. And then I guess they got tired of standing up, so they was like, if you hate Gibson, sit down. Hey, Gibson, sit down. And then I guess, I think in the final match of that day, I guess they got tired of standing up and sitting down, and they decided to, if you hate Gibson, take your shoe off. And everyone was holding up their shoe. So, like, that's the British fans make those shows, like, they step them up.
NXT UK, you have a weird thing to live up to that I didn't know to look for.
Yeah, a lot of shoes. A lot of shoes. Hopefully not any shoe throwing. That's how you get kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they did announce that on the show, even though, you know, it's been all over their WWE social media. They're starting a WWE or NXT UK show.
Yes.
I don't know. I think the episodes are supposed to air by the end of the summer. They might have said dates, and I'm just blanking on that, but they are going to start tapings in July.
And we're basically viewing this as a NXT spinoff,
essentially,
almost
yeah.
like CSI Miami kind of thing.
Well, that's the thing. Like, after Pete Dunne won, or he won the match at the end of the second day, mm-hmm. like everyone came back, and like it was like, this is the cast of NXT UK.
Yeah,
they did. Maybe that'll be the first episode. They did name a new number one contender, and I enjoyed because it was a triple threat.
Mm-hmm.
Match, and then they added someone at the very last minute, and it was Noam Dar.
Oh, cool.
And Noam Dar won, and he looked fantastic. That dude has been... He did the Ciampa.
Okay.
He did the Ciampa, where he was, like, injured for a long time,
uh-huh.
and he got shredded.
Yeah.
So, that I'm looking forward to that match. But, yeah, NXT UK is going to have a full, like, men's division, tag team division, and women's division. I'm assuming Tony Storm's probably going to lead the way on that.
Well, it's you know, you theoretically you have mm-hmm. a show now, and if you treat it, and I kind of like the
and that's the thing with a lot of the stuff on the second day of the UK, you can see like, oh, they're starting to plant seeds for the show. Like the Coffey Brothers came out to attack another tag team,
yeah,
or another two guys, and so I'm like, okay, well, that's the beginning of their tag team division, and Tony Storm, you could see her taking the reins of, you know, the women's division, even though she lost against Shayna Baszler.
Well, you have the part of the problem with the Cruiserweight, mm-hmm. the 205 Live show, is you have this portrayal of, we have three shows. We have the red brand, the blue brand, and the purple brand. It's one of our three big shows. And you're like, no, it's a little baby show over to the side. Like, I see how you treat this.
Yeah.
NXT has always had this. It's the rookie league. It's the farm league. Mm-hmm. You get called up to, you know, the main event stuff. Doing the NXT UK kind of puts it on that same level.
Yeah.
Where, you know.
Like, it's another branch of the farm system almost.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's an easy thing where they can be like, oh, we're going to work on NXT Mexico or NXT Dubai.
Man, what if they had the cojones to do NXT Japan?
I think it's a very real possibility.
Oh, sure. That's where you get your new Monday Night Wars,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, that when they start putting a lot of emphasis between or really behind NXT Japan.
They want to get Japan back, basically. Yeah. But, yeah, I do see that as a very real possibility, and kind of builds up this level of wrestling. And that would be something much more interesting in this. We're going to all pretend that these are, you know, it's hard enough to pretend that Raw and SmackDown are the same level of show.
Right.
And then, you know, you add the Cruiserweight stuff, and now, you know.
NXT, I can believe, is on the same level. It's just
the thing is, like,
unintentional, almost.
It's not on the same tier.
Right.
It's just, it's better wrestling.
Yeah.
By coincidence, almost.
Yeah.
I mean, not coincidence. There are obvious reasons you can trace behind it.
And obviously, they're trying to make it as best as they can. And they
right.
They put a conscious effort to outdo their previous efforts.
Right. But I like that they are acknowledging that this is something different than, we're just making Raw in the UK.
Yeah.
Like they're pretending with 205 Live is, we're making Raw for Cruiserweights.
Yeah.
When they're not. No. So I like that they're acknowledging this is a different thing.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it, when you read, you know, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and it just sounds like WWE's just using this as a way to kind of, like, beat other potential competitors in the UK.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just signing people, like, signing people off basically just so other companies can't use them. So it's just, it's weird, it is, but it's interesting, and I'm interested in seeing what they do with it. Because at the core of it, like, no matter what WWE, what, no matter what their intentions are, at the core of it, you still have a bunch of really young, hungry wrestlers who are just wanting to put on their best work.
Yeah.
You know, at the core, you've got, you know, Tyler Bate, and you've got Pete Dunne, and, like, even Trent Seven, like, and a whole bunch of, a slew of other people that are just trying to put their country on the map as far as, like, you know, a wrestling powerhouse.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're conflicted as a wrestling fan. You're like, okay, this is basically, you know, not necessarily destroying, but knocking down any, you know, federation, any organization, mm-hmm. any company's attempt to, you know, build a right. fundamental base in the UK.
Yeah.
At the same time, living in America, here is, you know, a ton of wrestling, a ton of very talented guys you have instant access to easily yeah. with this network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and I get the frustration and I get the fear, and I'm not saying it's unfounded. It's mm-hmm. it's like the whole Disney, you know, buying Fox thing where you're yeah. like, oh boy, the X-Men can be in the Avengers now. At the same time, like,
it's scary that they own everything.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, at what point are we destroying, you know, laws to prevent monopolies?
Yeah.
You know, and there are only four companies that make entertainment in this world. And, oh boy, the X-Men are going to be in Avengers, and I can't wait. Like,
right, yeah.
I have conflicted feelings about things.
Yeah. When you could just be like, man, why don't they just stay separate companies but just let their toys play with each other?
Yeah.
You know? So outside of that, I do want to mention that I did watch the Showtime documentary for Mauro Ranallo.
Okay.
Man, it was really good and enlightening, because it's very, it sheds a very bright light on bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the focus of the film. And, you know, it is biographical of Mauro, and he's got such an interesting story, but it is, the core of it is them shining a light on this disorder. But seeing all that, I can't imagine how in the world Mauro and WWE coexisted so long with them on SmackDown. Like, aside from the alleged stuff that may or may not have happened between him and JBL,
mm-hmm.
just the travel schedule alone and just having to do this, NXT is such a better fit for him.
Yeah.
Because they do the tapings once a month, and then once a quarter you have a takeover,
yeah.
you know? So you have that, and he's doing all these other things at the same time. Like, he's still doing Showtime pay-per-views for boxing, and he's just got so much on his plate.
Yeah.
And all that does is just make things worse for his condition.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, now he does a little bit better of dealing with it, but it is very enlightening, and I highly encourage everyone to watch it, help better understand, you know, bipolar disorder, and just, yeah, it overall, it's just a good documentary.
Oh, good, good.
So,
all right.
If you have a chance, watch it.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at Ciara Tire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, and appropriate Sundays.
Yep, and if you have anything you want to, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
Yep. If you are listening to us on insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.